The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff and management. Discussion of specific points and general topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice. Please check with your doctor on these issues.
Welcome to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Stay tuned as we examine different aspects of holistic wellness. Here is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum.
Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health, coming to you from the studios of Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. On today's program, we'll be talking with Janine Faber from Myers, and her topic is special diets. Each week, Your Holistic Health presents evidence-based, practical tips on how to integrate body, mind, and spiritual principles into everyday living. We'll turn to Scripture to give us perspective on every discussion focused on wellness and prevention, because we believe that God is a central part of the healing process. This week in the news is some pretty important information about heartburn and how to, with nutrition, stay away from it, or said another way, what foods might promote that. So many people seem to be suffering from this. And what is heartburn? Well, it's really simply the stomach's acid contents backing up, if you will, into the esophagus, and unfortunately, in some people, even into their throats. It's more commonly known as acid reflux, and it's something that we don't want to happen. Why does it happen? There's a little kind of an outlet or a spigot, if you will, between the stomach and the esophagus called the esophageal sphincter, and that gets floppy as we get older, and it's also a result of using too many non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medicines. Could be exacerbated by smoking, by being overweight, or by not managing our stress well. And it can be triggered by food and drink. Some ways to avoid. Well, mechanically, a lot of people find relief by elevating their bed if they're spilling acid more at night than the daytime. They may stay away from food such as red meat, alcohol, and chili peppers. That's kind of an obvious one. Or spicy foods if they are the ones that are causing more indigestion. A lot of times tomatoes are not well tolerated in people with heartburn. What are some good foods to eat overall for stomach health? Number one, yogurt. And I would encourage us to look for Activia yogurt or other probiotics in food form such as kefir, K-E-F-I-R. Those are all great to help reestablish or maintain good bacteria in the gut. That helps digestion. It also helps the immune system. Fruits and vegetables, as tolerated, because they're high in fiber and many of them are high in antioxidants. A lot of them will relieve constipation and reduce risk of colon cancer. Specifically, broccoli and cauliflower are two that are great for us. Then finally, peppermint tea. According to a 2011 Australian study, peppermint appears to activate an anti-pain channel in our colon and can help soothe our GI tract. If we're suffering from IBS or inflammatory bowel symptoms or indigestion after dinner, as well as to an extent reflux, although I might add peppermint could irritate reflux, so that's kind of a plus minus. So there you have it. And if your symptoms persist for more than a week or two, please speak to your physician for the possibility of treatment with medications, whether they're over-the-counter or a prescription. Now it's time to introduce our guest. Janine Faber is a corporate dietitian and healthy living advisor for Meijer stores in Columbus, Dayton, Cincinnati, Louisville, and Lexington. My, she must travel. She organizes and participates in community and in-store events, writes for the Meijer Healthy Living booklets, magazines, and website, presents health information to a variety of audiences, and provides customers with nutrition solutions via television and radio. Janine earned her Bachelor of Science degree in dietetics from Miami University in Oxford and attended Virginia Tech's dietetic internship in Falls Church, Virginia. And she also completed her Master's of Education in Health Promotion at my alma mater, the University of Cincinnati. Welcome, Janine, to Your Holistic Health.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
What's our pleasure. Well, right out of the gate, I'm going to test some discussion of how you feel about a study that recently came out, a paper, sort of a position paper, if you will. It was published by the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, and it's really not talking so much about special diets, but overall approaches to healthy eating. I think this is a great way to tee up the show tonight. Can you give us just a couple of highlights from that paper, please?
Sure. I think you're right. This is a great way to start off the interview. Basically, the main gist of this article and what the Academy was trying to drive home is that the total diet approach is the most important focus of healthy eating. And what this approach is as we've mentioned and educated all along, is that all foods can fit. So it's really important to look at moderation, appropriate portion sizes, and also combining it with physical activity. So healthy food choices as well as that exercise component is important. It's also important to balance your food and beverages with overall calorie needs and not just focus on one particular food or one particular meal. And we don't want to oversimplify things, such as putting foods as in good or bad categories. We really want to look at our overall healthy eating or overall eating meals and snacks, et cetera. So again, everything can fit. And also taking into consideration that our intake and our foods are really influenced by many things, which can include time and convenience, your environment, your culture, attitude and beliefs. But all of these can really help and be beneficial. It's so important to look at that variety, that moderation, the proportions, and then a gradual improvement to help you reach your goal of healthier eating. But again, just that whole diet approach there, that we want to keep portion sizes in mind and everything can fit, especially coming from the grocery store. And as in my own life, too, I love ice cream, but I don't have a whole gallon of ice cream at one time. You know, I have the proper portion sizes and I can fit it in on special occasions.
Great advice. Well, when we talk about special diets, I want to break out our discussion today into two different categories, if you will permit me, please, and they are food allergies and food intolerances, because I think there's some opportunity for us to learn in each of these. And I'm going to ask you about, you know, what are some of the food allergies that require us to have special diets? And then on the flip side, what are some food intolerances for the same?
The eight major food allergies are peanuts, tree nuts, eggs, milk, soy, wheat, fish, and shellfish. And those can also have intolerances associated with them. Also, celiac disease or a gluten intolerance is often one that we see. I think it is important, as you mentioned, that people know the difference between an intolerance and an allergy. We might often experience something, a feeling, and automatically assume that we're allergic to a particular food item. And it might be an intolerance, or it actually might be a food safety issue. An intolerance is more where it comes on gradually, or an allergy, it usually comes on more suddenly. The intolerance, it may only happen when a lot of food is actually eaten, where an allergy, it could be whenever that food is eaten, no matter what the amount. The intolerance, you might feel an uncomfortableness or just kind of, it's not like life-threatening, where an allergy, it's more, it's something you need to avoid and also damage can occur in the system. So I think it is important to note that there are differences. And if you start feeling a certain food item might be causing uncomfortableness or problems, it's, I think, important to keep track of how much you're eating, when you're eating it, the symptoms you're feeling, and then if if it continues, to definitely seek medical advice.
Mm-hmm. I'm learning more and more about gluten these days because so many people have been disclosing that, and how difficult it is to deal with that particular type of allergy. And I would say it's one thing to know that the label clearly states this contains wheat, or this contains barley, or this contains oats. But it's another thing when these grains are used in the manufacturing process early upstream and aren't required to be disclosed on the label. So can you give us some guidance for that particular type of special diet and how people can become more knowledgeable or educated where some of these ingredients that are gluten-like or frankly are gluten are hidden?
Well, right now, labels on foods, like you're mentioning, these food companies are required to list out any of the 8 major allergens that the product contains. So again, that goes through your peanuts, tree nuts, eggs, milk, soy, wheat, fish, and shellfish. So you do bring up a good point that wheat is the only one part of that 8 major allergens. So you will see that in a contained statement and a food product label. Whereas if you're gluten intolerant, you can't have wheat, but you can also have rye, barley, and some oats. And those are not one of the 8 major or some of the 8 major allergens. So it is important to look for particular items that are naturally gluten-free or specifically state that they're gluten-free. Also, I know that the FDA has proposed having gluten-free items right now contain 22 parts per million or less. So a lot of products, companies are following that or even just going completely gluten-free where they are having gluten-free facilities. I know some vendors have a whole different building for their gluten-free products that they produced so they don't have any contact or any shared equipment with gluten-containing products. Some companies do a thorough allergen wash in between to make sure that they are minimizing their gluten cross-contamination risk. And then you may also see a may contain statement, first the 8 major allergens on particular products, and that is actually voluntary. So if you see it, it's something that the company has decided to do, but it's not mandated by the government.
All right, of those 8, which do you think are the most problematic?
The ones that are the most that I see are peanuts is definitely a big one, as well as eggs and milk are probably the ones that I see as being probably the most common.
Okay, and if someone is intolerant or allergic or both to lactose in cow's milk, can they drink almond milk? Or is the same sugar in there?
Almond milk would be a great alternative. The lactose is not in almond milk. They could also choose soy milk. Coconut milk, there's really nice options available at the grocery stores today for people that have a lactose intolerance or a milk allergy.
And since I love cakes from time to time, and most cake recipes require eggs, how about for egg allergies? What are substitutes for the protein in cake mixes and other pastries for eggs?
For eggs, actually, there's a great information on the FAIR website, which is the Food Allergy Research and Education website at foodallergy.org, and they list different ideas for all of the 8 major allergies and what you can do, tips for label reading when you're in the grocery store, where eggs can be found, and I know that they have information as well about baking ideas. I think there's even one with using water and flour mixture might be an alternative for using eggs, so I know it definitely can be done and it can be an easy substitution.
Excellent. And I'm sure there are very creative minds out there with other options as well.
That's true.
More so than mine, for sure. Well, now, before we go to break, I want to ask you about just a couple other special diets. And, you know, I guess, what's the single most, I guess, special diet that you've had to help manage? And I'm going to assume that you're managing quite a bit of diabetes. or possibly, you know, salt-free, the DASH diet for people with hypertension. But what kind of questions do you get outside of those two different categories, other than the peanuts, the eggs, and the milk that you just described?
You're right that I do get a lot of diabetes questions, and overall the diabetes diet is a healthy diet and it's really beneficial for anyone to follow. So that one's a really easy piece to kind of educate everybody on. But really I get the most common questions or most frequent questions about the gluten-free diet. That's the number one question I received through our website on our Ask Janine part of our website, because more and more people are being diagnosed. As you mentioned, the rye, barley, and oats are not the main allergens, so they're not always labeled. And then the varying levels of the severity of gluten intolerance or celiac disease. And from even just a couple of years ago to today, so many more gluten-free products are becoming available on our shelves. I know at Meijer in particular, we've really increased our gluten-free offerings in our stores just recently because of that consumer interest and consumer demand and the people that have been diagnosed with celiac disease and are looking for those particular products in our stores at a reasonable price.
That's awesome. And our listeners may not know, but for those of you in Centerville, Ohio, there's actually a restaurant called Sinfully Gluten-Free. Doesn't that sound inviting? Where the owner is very well-versed in this condition and has done an excellent job of creating delicious and tasty items for those suffering. And then one other comment I wanted to pull out before we go to break, Janine, that you had mentioned that there's sort of a spectrum of beginning with gluten intolerance or allergy all the way through to celiac, and you don't necessarily have celiac if you're gluten intolerant. Celiac is an autoimmune disease, and it's typically hard to diagnose and by process of elimination by biopsy. But so that everyone out there doesn't think that they all have celiac and have not perhaps been diagnosed with that. But I do I do find it interesting that seemingly more and more people are getting diagnosed. Maybe they've had it all along and we've just missed it because we don't put so much emphasis on nutrition intolerances and allergies, let alone nutrition in general. And that's why we have you on the show, so you can help us do that. So if you're just listening, this is a broadcast of Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, and tonight we're talking with Janine Faber, dietitian for Meijer's. The topic is special diets. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Your Holistic Health is brought to you by RX Integrative Solutions. Many Americans are taking prescription medications and wish they could find a way to take less. 42% of us have tried some type of complementary or holistic practice, including vitamins and other dietary supplements. Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions provides personalized consultations to review your prescription medications and dietary supplements and helps you find a simpler, back-to-basics way to health. She'll work in partnership with your primary care physician. For more information or to sign up for a consultation, visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. That's rxintegrativesolutions.com.
We're back, and you're listening to a broadcast of Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is me, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, and tonight our guest is Janine Faber, a dietitian, a corporate dietitian for Meijer stores in Columbus, Dayton, Cincinnati, Louisville, and Lexington. Well, Janine, I really want to know, because this is your life's career and your vocation and your passion, obviously, to help us all get better educated on healthy nutrition. Why in heaven's name do so many of us have a hard time believing in the power of smart eating and just, you know, the miracle of, frankly, perfection in Mother Nature and nutrition for healing?
It is a question that you commonly ask all the time, you know, yourself, and why people aren't making changes. But it's one of those things where just our society is looking for immediate results. And healthy eating is something where it takes time, it takes hard work, and it takes patience. And it's a gradual change. And you don't want to lose weight, a large amount of weight overnight. Most likely it's not going to stay off. And it's not going to be a lifestyle commitment or a lifestyle change. We're always looking for that quick answer, that cure-all pill that fixes everything right away. And I think that's our society looking for something that happens immediate, and really just providing. And what our healthy living team tries to do is educating people on solutions. I think people know what they need to do with increasing our fruits and vegetable intake, low-fat dairy products, whole grains, lean meats or lean protein, but really just showing consumers and our customers how to do that. How do you pick out a mango? How do you cook this lean cut of beef? Or how do you choose a whole grain product, a bread, for example, over a non-whole grain bread? So really just further educating, taking it a step further from just we need to eat more fruits and vegetables to here's actually how you can incorporate it into your daily meals and snacks.
And I love that. And I love that you're a part of that solution in store, online, on TV, on radio. I might just turn around one day in the driveway and see you right next to me. Educating on nutrition. Who would know? Well, I'm going to take your thoughts and bring those forward one step further and put my holistic hat on. And we begin by talking about the body and the nutrition for the body in the plant kingdom and to a certain extent in the animal kingdom. Nutrition for the mind would be emotional health and accountability, emotional intelligence. And certainly, stress management is very healthy for us overall for a lot of good reasons. But I'm going to extend it now to the spiritual nutrition. And if you would permit me to suggest that they all kind of go together in a mm-hmm. holistic sense. And I would underscore a passage from John 6:35, where Jesus has said, quote, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst," end quote. So there's a lot of power and perfection from a holistic perspective that begins with good nutrition for the body and continues all through the life experience. Have you got any tips for restaurant dining for people with particular food allergies, and how do you open up that conversation without becoming labor intensive, I'll say, in a polite way, while choosing your menu and a positive dining experience?
I think first knowing which places, which restaurants may be more high risk. So if we think of peanuts, for example, Asian, Mexican bakeries, ice cream shops, those are more items or restaurants, places where you're going to have possibility of more cross-contamination with peanuts. It is something where if you're going to go out to eat, really having to do your homework. So calling ahead, if you have a particular restaurant in mind, calling ahead, talking to the manager and asking about their practices on their menu. When you arrive, informing your waiter or your waitress about your allergy needs. And then at the table, being careful and mindful of cross-contamination, making sure you're not sharing a knife with your friend that has something that you sit with their entree that has peanuts on top of it or something like that where there could be some cross-contamination risk. And if you really have a severe allergy, I mean, really just being more in control and staying at home and preparing your own food would really be the best so that you don't have that chance of having an allergic reaction.
Right, and in its severest form for friends and loved ones who may be dining with that person with the allergy, if something were to happen, and we certainly hope that it does not, but mm-hmm. if there were something to happen, that would manifest in an allergic anaphylactic reaction as difficulty breathing, tightening of the throat, maybe swelling of the lips, the face, the tongue. You'd know that something was wrong. Many times people carry an epinephrine pen, but that's prescribed by the doctor and used judiciously, of course. Not everyone does that, but noting that it takes very, very little exposure to peanut dust, oil, nuts, peanut butter to send somebody over the edge. So I do concern myself with that and want our listeners to know that that's probably one that's really important to remember. All right, so some tips on approaching, we talked a bit about this already, labels within the confines of processed foods so that we can make sure that we're scouring the right areas for these allergies and avoiding them. What would you recommend?
Yes, definitely. As we mentioned, food companies are required to list out any of the 8 major allergens on the label in a contain statement and in the ingredient statement. That the may contain statement is voluntary, so you might see that on some manufacturers' products, but it's not required. I think overall, when you're looking for products without allergies, is just doing your homework again, reading product labels very carefully. I think one thing that's really hard is that you might see a product and like a product, and that product doesn't have any of the allergens in it. But every time you buy it, it's still important to read that label because ingredients can change without any warning, and we've seen that a bunch of times. So really looking at that label every time you buy it, just in case, and calling the company if you have any questions, just to clarify things, and most companies will be happy to get back with you about information. I know that's one of the things I do with my job through the Ask Janine section on our website is answer consumer questions about gluten intolerance or any of the allergies, and we also have resources online for our customers to help make it a little easier with shopping with allergies.
Fabulous. I love it. Janine, we're all out of time. Very quickly, give us some web links for more information where individuals can go for information on allergies and how to deal with them, please.
Sure. My favorite, as I mentioned, is the FAIR website, which is the Food Allergy Research and Education website, is foodallergy.org. You could also go to the American Academy of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology at AAAAI.org, which is kind of hard to remember. Even WebMD has great information. Mayo Clinic has great information, too. And the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology as well is a great website, and that's ACAAI.org.
All right, and where can they find you?
I am at MeyerHealthyLiving.com, and as I mentioned, we have a gluten-free list as well as an allergen list on our website at MeyerHealthyLiving.com. There's an Ask Janine section on our website. I'd be happy to answer questions about allergies or diets in general. Also, for just menu ideas, we have information there. Weekly nutritious menu based on sale items. Sunday through Saturday, we've done the work for you, all based on sale items at Meyer.
Thank you so much. Wonderful information, and I hope our listeners will take advantage of that very soon. Thanks again to Janine Faber for being our guest this evening, talking about special diets from Meyer's. I'd like to wrap up our show with the quote of the week, and it's from Mother Teresa. And I quote, "People are often unreasonable and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are honest, people may cheat you. Be honest anyway. If you find happiness, people may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today may be forgotten tomorrow, but do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give your best anyway. For you see, in the end, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway." End quote. Please tune in again next week to hear Stephanie Stevenson, medical doctor and clinical director of integrative medicine at the University of Cincinnati Integrative Health and Medicine Center in Cincinnati, talking about integrative health and menopause on the next edition of Your Holistic Health. You are loved. Blessings and good night.
The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff, and management. Please contact your healthcare provider for specific professional advice on these topics.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion today. Please join Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum each Friday, 6 p.m., on Faith and Friends Radio for your holistic health.